Welcome to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring Dave Hutt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up in today's broadcast, in our Understanding the Scriptures segment, Dave and Tom will resume their exploration of the Gospel of John. And could Jesus have avoided the cross? In Religion in the News, Suicide Soccer. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, just how much liberty do we have in Christ? We hope you can stay with us. Our ministry, the Berean Call, offers many teaching materials, including books, tracts, audio and videotapes, and copies of our weekly broadcast on tape or compact disc. You may also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, which we offer free of charge. We'll let you know how to order later in the program. Now, this week's cover article. We continue with our series of discussions based on Dave Hunt's book, From Harvest House. With installment number 82 of In Defense of the Faith, and along with Dave Hunt, here's T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a program in which we encourage everyone who desires to know God's truth to look to God's Word for all that is essential for salvation and living one's life in a way that is pleasing to Him. Dave, we're going to jump right into our first question for maybe some new listeners. We've been taking these questions from Dave's book, In Defense of the Faith, and these are questions that he's had to address over his many years of ministry. And we find them really helpful because not only have Dave, have you wrestled with them, but I'm sure many of us in some form have either thought about them or had to maybe give answers to people. So, and again, we hope, and you're to check us out in this, we hope our answers are biblical because that's the heart of what the program's about. So the question is, according to Matthew 24:34, Christ declared, "This generation shall not pass till all these things which had been prophesied be fulfilled." No one can deny that the gospel of the kingdom was not preached unto all nations, verse 14, and that, quote, all the tribes of the earth, end of quote, did not see Christ coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, verse 30, or that angels did not gather together his elect from the four winds, verse 31, before the generation to whom Christ spoke had passed away. That this is an obviously false prophecy cannot be denied. What do you make of it?
Well, Tom, it's interesting that this person calls it a false prophecy. That should not sit too well with the preterists who say it was all fulfilled.
Now, preterists, you have to explain that.
Well, you go ahead and explain it.
Well, a preterist is somebody who takes the prophecies of the Bible. Some would say there are different kinds of preterists. Some would go farther in this theory, this idea, than others. But they would say basically all of the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled, perhaps with the exception of Revelation 21.
So forth. Yeah. It's all happened in the past, and Nero was the Antichrist.
And the second coming took place at AD 70.
Jesus returned in the person of the Roman armies to destroy Jerusalem, if you can imagine that. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, it's a comforting promise that he will come and rescue them. We read of it in the Old Testament. So this person obviously is not a preterist, seems more like an atheist. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should deal with that first. The fact that, as this person says, the gospel wasn't preached unto all nations, verse 14, that's a misunderstanding. It doesn't say then the rapture will occur, and it didn't say that it will happen within this generation. There are a number of different statements that Christ makes. That's not one of the signs. But it says then the end will come. Some people think the gospel must be preached to all nations before the rapture. Jesus did not say, let me just read it again, and this gospel, this is Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, not the rapture. Mm-hmm. And the end, I would take that to be, we read of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then cometh the end, when he will have delivered up the kingdom to the Father, and God shall be all in all, and so forth. But this person points out very accurately, well, he leaves some things out. For example, verse 22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Well, there was no threat to exterminate all flesh with the weapons that they had at that time within that generation, that literal generation. So that certainly couldn't have been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
How can the preterist then say it was all fulfilled back there? Now, these would be Reformed theologians, many of them. And they say, well, it all happened. Israel is finished. The church is Israel. Now we've taken the place of Israel and so forth. Absolutely untenable. There was no danger of wiping out all flesh with bows and arrows and swords and spears. And then verse 27, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, he didn't come like that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, powers of heaven shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. This is a worldwide event. Everywhere, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Come on. The preterist tries to say, well, that's figurative language. We find language like that in the Old Testament. It doesn't literally mean that Jesus would come and the armies, the Roman armies, fulfilled that and so forth. Simply not true.
David, let me just add a little bit to that. As amillennialists, they believe that we are in the millennium right now.
Yeah, we must be in the slums, Tom.
Well, I asked, as a matter of fact, I had a chance at CBA, which is Christian Booksellers Association. I had a chance to ask one of the leading preterists. He had the booth. He was called the Preterist Association, International Preterist Association.
Yeah.
And he had the booth and the books and so on. So I said, well, if we're in the millennium right now and Satan is bound, and that's what they believe, then, you know, I sort of threw my hands up. I said, well, why aren't things getting better? And Dave, with this absolute straight face, I said to him, so what's the problem? And with a straight face, he said, it's dispensationalism. It's those people that believe in the rapture. You know, this helicopter theory taking you out. They're not putting their shoulder to the plow and making this earth into the paradise it's supposed to be. Wow.
Incredible, Tom. I don't know how you can believe that. A, logically, rationally, it isn't going to happen. B, from the Bible, there will not be peace. It won't be a new world until Christ returns. You could go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Remember the image, Nebuchadnezzar, in his dream, the head of gold and so forth. And these are the kingdoms of this earth. And then you have the revived. Fourth one is revived.
Mm-hmm.
10 toes, 10 kings under the Antichrist. And what happens? There's a stone cut out without hands, obviously Christ. Smashes the image on the feet. Obviously, it will happen in the last days when this Roman Empire has been revived and is worldwide. And turns it to powder. The wind blows it away and this stone cut out without hands becomes a great mountain that fills the whole earth. And Daniel says God will establish a kingdom. In fact, it plainly says in the days of those kings, the 10 rulers under Antichrist, shall the God of heaven establish a kingdom that will never be removed. These guys are trying to make their kingdom, this kingdom. They think they're the stone cut out without hands that is going to smash all the kingdoms of this earth? No, this is Christ returning in judgment to destroy Antichrist and to rescue Israel, and we read of it all through the scriptures. It simply isn't a tenable position to take, but they are determined and they keep pushing this.
David, obviously, as you said, this person asking the question is not a preterist.
No.
He's somebody who's trying to take apart the validity, the credibility of God's Word.
And he's focusing on Christ's statement. Read it from the scriptures here. Matthew 24:34, "Verily," that's truly, "I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And as he points out, it wasn't fulfilled. Now the preterist says it was fulfilled in that generation. Well, I'm sorry, that's just foolishness. There's no way you could maintain that except by falling back upon allegory.
Right. Figurative language.
Right.
That just will not take what's being said here literally.
Okay. So it didn't happen. If you consider generation to be that group of people who were alive at that time when Christ made this statement. But generation doesn't necessarily mean that. Now, there are other theories, you know, Tom. There is a theory that this generation, Christ says, was the generation that saw Israel back in her land. So within that time period, I'm old enough to remember this. I remember in the 70s. Late Great Planet Earth came out, I think, 78 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the bumper stickers, "Ride at your own risk. I'm leaving in the rapture." And people were saying, I remember it very well, 1948, Israel was brought back into its land, you know, a nation was born in a day. Add 40 years to that, the length of the generation, which, you know, a generation could be much longer than that. But anyway, this was what they were saying, hopefully. Brings us to 1988. Subtract the 7-year tribulation period. 1981, the rapture will occur. And I remember people saying that, and I probably mentioned it many times, but I can remember people in those days saying, "Well, Dave, what do you think? We're right there at the rapture." And I said, "Well, I wish it were true, but I don't think so, because we have a verse in the same chapter. Verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I used to say, too many people are expecting him.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming when almost no one will be expecting him. And indeed, he hasn't come yet. Well, then, what alternative is there? The generation of that day? The generation that saw Israel back in her land? Well, both Christ and John the Baptist used the word generation in a peculiar way, specific way, that is peculiar to them. Christ, for example, Matthew 3, verse 7, he referred to the Jews as, quote, "a generation of vipers." And John the Baptist said the same.
Now, he wasn't being anti-Semitic there, was he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, how could he be? He's Jewish himself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Matthew 12:39, "an evil and adulterous generation." Matthew 12:45, "a wicked generation."
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 16:4, "a wicked and adulterous generation." Matthew 17:17 and Luke 9:41, "a faithless and perverse generation." Mark 8:38, "an adulterous and sinful generation." Mark 9:19, "a faithless generation." And "an evil generation." Luke 11:29.
Sounds like he's talking about a specific generation to me.
Yes, he is. A generation of unbelieving people. And I believe we can substantiate from the scripture that Jesus was saying, although many Jews will come to Christ, many Jews have come to Christ, that Israel as a whole would remain in unbelief. Rejection of her Messiah, rebellion against God, faithless, perverse, corrupt, until everything is fulfilled. And if we turn to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "They will look on me whom they have pierced." They will mourn at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It is only when it's only when Israel is surrounded by the armies of this world. The IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, they're the best in the world, no doubt about it. They have nuclear weapons. They have nuclear missiles. They have the Aero Defense System. They can deliver nuclear missiles from submarines. Amazing what Israel, that tiny country, has done. They have tremendous capabilities. And I don't think they're going to go down in defeat. One day, the entire world will come against them, and they're not going to go down in defeat without using their ultimate weapons. And I think a nuclear exchange, whether it is pending or whether it has already begun, Christ says, except those days be shortened, no flesh would survive. Mm-hmm. He says they will have, and that's an amazing prophecy from 1900 years ago. Christ is saying the day is coming when this world will have such weapons of mass destruction. That's what this whole thing about Iraq is about now. We even have letters for it, WMD, weapons of mass destruction. It's become so well known. And Christ says weapons of such power, such destructiveness, that they could wipe out all flesh on planet Earth. And if I do not intervene, there won't be any flesh left alive. Now, that's an amazing prophecy, mm-hmm. And it certainly didn't apply in that day. So everything will have been fulfilled. Well, let me read it from Matthew 24 and verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it, that is my coming, is near, even at the doors. So Christ says, look, there's a time coming when any idiot knows I'm coming. Antichrist, Revelation 19 knows, goes out with his armies to meet him. And yet, he says in verse 44, we read it, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. This is one of the reasons we know there's a distinction between the rapture, Christ comes when very few expect it, and the second coming, when everything has been fulfilled, and anyone knows he's coming, you know for sure. And Jesus said, you remember, to the Jews as he was being led away to be crucified, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. There are two reasons for Armageddon. One of them is, God says it very clearly, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That's Zechariah 14:1. I'm going to bring the nations of this world to judgment, and appropriately, as they come against Israel to destroy, to effect a final solution to the Jewish problem, as Hitler put it. And they are going to come to wipe out Israel, to wipe out, to kill all Jews all over planet Earth. And God says, I am going to punish them for the way they have treated my people. And Tom, I mean, we could talk about anti-Semitism. We've talked about it. The United Nations has condemned Israel more than 375 times. For what? Defending itself? Never once have they condemned the Arabs for attacking, wars of extermination, for public statements. We are going to exterminate them. The world sits by. United Nations says that's fine. You have 189 nations that are members of the United Nations today. As I recall, you correct me if I'm wrong, 188 can take their rotating turn as members of the Security Council. There are permanent members, United States, Russia, China, and so forth. But all the others can take their turn rotating members on the Security Council, except one nation. One nation is not allowed. Israel. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. You've got terrorist nations, Cuba, Iran, Iraq, Sudan, Syria. They can all take their turn. Israel cannot. But anyway, anti-Semitism is alive, and one day they're going to try to destroy the whole world, and God is going to punish them for that, and he is also going to plead with his people Israel. He's going to bring Israel to the point where they will know, with all their military power and their ingenuity, they cannot survive. And at that point, they're going to cry out. Two-thirds of the Jews will have been killed at that point on the face of this earth, two-thirds of them. And at that point, all the Jews alive will cry out to the Messiah, please come and rescue us. And that is when he will intervene, stop the destruction. Well, he will destroy the armies of Antichrist, mm-hmm. rescue Israel, and set up his kingdom.
Dave, earlier you mentioned Arab nations.
Uh-huh.
And it's an aside, but I think this is worth mentioning. How many Arab nations are there? There's only, what, one?
Saudi Arabia.
That's
right.
It. All the other nations that are promoting this idea of destroying Israel are Islamic
exactly.
nations. This is a religious battle, folks,
exactly.
that we're dealing with.
Exactly. But they talk about the great Arab nation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Moroccans, the Algerians, the Tunisians are Berbers.
Right. Egyptians are Egyptians.
That's right.
The Turks.
They're Turks.
They're Turks. Turkey is
the
Turkish.
Syrians are Syrians.
Iran, they're Persians.
Right. The Iraqis.
But they, what do they have? Let's go to Indonesia. So they're certainly not Arabs. All right. And more probably, percentage-wise, there are more Muslims in Indonesia than there are in, well, certainly in Saudi Arabia.
Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation on the earth. But we're talking about the Middle East now
mm-hmm.
because they keep complaining. Israel is a festering sore in the midst of this great Arab nation. They are denying us the unity that we should have over this. Wait a minute. What? Arab nation? No, this is not an Arab nation. They're Arab speaking. Why do they speak Arabic? Because it was imposed upon them. Islam was imposed upon them. And the saying is that you cannot understand the Quran except in its original Arabic. So these are Arabic-speaking nations. These are not Arabs, but they call this the great Arab nation. This is imperialism to the max.
Mm-hmm.
And they call Israel an imperialist nation. Israel is not threatening anybody. They want to be left in peace. In fact, they have offered the Palestinians their country, their Palestinian nation, if they will just admit the right, acknowledge the right of Israel to exist. They will not acknowledge the right of Israel to exist because they say that denies the unity of the great Arab nation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, the nations will be punished. Israel will be punished. Israel will be brought to the point of crying out for the Messiah to return. And then what will happen? That unbelieving, perverse, faithless generation will have passed away because they will all, Romans chapter 11, Paul says, all Israel will be saved. In this very chapter, Jesus says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. That's not hanging on your salvation. That's every Jew that is still alive when Christ intervenes will look upon him, will recognize him as the Messiah, will repent, and will be saved. And only then will that generation of unbelief and rebellion have passed away.
Mm-hmm. Dave, this question, it's related to prophecy. And we can't say enough about prophecy. This is what proves that God's word is exactly that. It's God's word.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely tremendous. So even opportunities, tough questions that deal with prophecy, I think are important. And I believe that Christians, this is such a powerful tool for witnessing,
mm-hmm.
for demonstrating that God has spoken, and it is God who has spoken. And
right.
this
exactly.
is where we need to, this is our resource for answers. The entirety of thy word is truth, Jesus said, and that's mm-hmm. that's where we have to go.
Amen. And God says it in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. I'm God, and I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. I will prove that I am God and that this is my word by telling you what will happen before it happens. And he says to Israel, Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses to yourselves and to the world that I am God, because he has laid out their whole history. It's there in black and white from the prophets. No one can deny it. You can't be an atheist. You can't be an agnostic. He has said it. And it has come to pass, and it is in the process of being fulfilled before our eyes. A powerful tool for demonstrating that God exists in the Bible as his word.